Welcome to the In the Limelight podcast. I'm your host, Clarissa Burt, and every week I bring you great information from fabulous people that I get to meet all over the world. I interview public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that share their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. I promise you educative, empowering, and entertaining conversations with entrepreneurs that have a social conscience. Don't forget to find me on social. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Facebook, it's Clarissa Burt Official. Also, sign up for my newsletter at clarissaburt.com. That way you can keep abreast of the In the Limelight media as it's coming out. And you'll be getting my weekly newsletter along with the In the Limelight magazine every quarter. Check out inthelimelightmedia.com. Hey everybody, it's Clarissa here. We are back in the limelight. I have yet another extraordinary entrepreneur for us this week. But before we do that, I do want to remind you again, where can you see the podcast? Hear the podcast, Apple, Google, Amazon Fire, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and wherever on Podbean. TV, we can see you. You can see this, or we can see you on Binge Networks, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Google Play. We're on Dailymotion, TiVo, another 100 smart television apps. Reminding you also to take a look at pressreader.com, where you can see the In the Limelight with Clarissa magazine. It is intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. And we thank the lovely lady, Fiona Carnarvon, for being on our cover. She does own Downton Abbey, for those of you that love the show. My News Desk, we love our friends in My News Desk. They are really helping me connect with journalists all over the world to be able to get my news releases and press releases out. And get the news out about what's happening here in the limelight. Okay, with all of that having been said, I'm going to bring on Tim Scherr.
Hi, Clarissa. How are you today?
Good to see you again, shall I say. Good to see you again. I love what you do. Love your energy. I was taking a look at your website again today to get a refresher on our interview today. It just looked like you just loved being on stage when you were teaching everybody and showing everybody and everything that they needed to know about, how to live with in the unconscious mind, sort of fixing our human behaviors. And you do all of these things with such grace and ease. It was just so much fun to watch your videos. Also, I do want to talk a lot about your book here, because you have a book. And it is called One Belief Away. One Belief Away, How to Upgrade Your Unconscious Mind for Prosperity and Inner Peace. And you wrote that with Dr. Joe Vitale. I wanted to take a deeper dive into this today, but also ask you some of the questions that I think that others would want to know too. You talk about an achiever's syndrome, and I wanted to know if you would tell us what that is.
Sure, absolutely. So when I'm on that stage, what I'm really thinking about is how can I help the people that are in front of me to know that they are amazing, to get rid of the fear that I'm not good enough, to get rid of the anxiety and all that negative programming that we pick up when we're kids. And so when I wrote this book, One Belief Away, a common problem for entrepreneurs was this term achiever syndrome. And achiever syndrome basically means that we are driven by our fear that if we get off this hamster wheel that we've created for ourselves, that we're on 24 hours a day, that if we get off of it, somehow it's all going to come crumbling down.
Right.
And so no matter what we accomplish, no matter what we're able to do, whether it's the accolades or the books or the programs or how many pat on the backs we get or how many people say, oh, you're so wonderful, it just never feels like it's enough. We always have to have more, either more success or more money or more accomplishments. And a lot of that is driven by anxiety instead of service, really, and contribution.
Yeah. Why don't we always have to want to have more? Why can't we just be happy every once in a while with the milestones that we hit as we're growing along the way? Seems like we never stop long enough to go, pat on the back, did a really great job. Now next. It's always next, you know?
Well, there's two parts of it, right? So the first part of it is because we often have these beliefs of not being good enough or a fear of not being safe. And if we stop, something bad's going to happen. People talk a lot about sharks, and entrepreneurs and the TV show Shark Tank, right? Well, the thing about sharks is if they stop swimming, if they stop moving forward, they die, they drown. So they always have to be driving forward. And I, you know, as entrepreneurs, we should probably pick a different animal so that we could relax once in a while and enjoy ourselves. But the other side of it is that we do want to continually always contribute as well. We want to play big. We don't want to settle for the status quo. We're, you know, mountain climbers, they climb mountains and they get to the top of the mountain. They pop some champagne, they take pictures, you know, and then they climb back down. And then what are they thinking? It's time to climb the next mountain.
Next one, right, exactly.
And so for us, it's not just about getting to the summit. It's about enjoying the climb and who we become through the pursuit of our dreams and goals. So So I think that that's a big part of it too.
Let's take a little bit of a deeper dive into the book. I can't imagine what it must have been like to write this book with Joe Vitale, because he's just so awesome. Yeah. He is really just great. I love his work as well. Tell us a little bit more about what the book is about. I'm going to hold it up again. I love the cover. It's just so pretty.
Yes. So I've facilitated over 15,000 individual hypnosis sessions over the last 25 years, just helping people overcome anxiety and stress and get rid of panic attacks and break bad habits and recover from addictions. I mean, anything that people were struggling with and they weren't getting results anywhere else, I was able to help them. And so I got really good at it. And I learned that it's our unconscious beliefs about ourselves that interfere with our inner peace and our ability to achieve goals more than anything else. And so when people are trying to have a positive attitude or use talk therapy and counseling or vision boards or affirmations, a lot of times it won't work for them or they won't feel any better because they didn't get to the core beliefs that are sabotaging us. So I started creating these experiences, and it didn't matter what people came in for. It might be a high-powered CEO that is, struggling with stress, or it might be someone who wants to lose weight, or it might be someone who is cutting themselves. It didn't matter what it was. Yeah. I would go and take them through these experiences, and they would have amazing, fast, sustainable breakthroughs. So I put those experiences in this book.
Right. So when you say fast, one session, mm-hmm. couple of sessions, you know, a shorter time than you would have imagined, or is it just really an individual case by case basis?
Almost every single client has a major breakthrough in the first session that we do together. Because the first session we do is what I call the awakening, and we go right after the biggest belief, the biggest fear that people have about themselves. You know, there's a lot of fears, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of being abandoned, fear of being rejected, fear of being humiliated. They all come from that core fear of not being good enough.
Right.
And if I'm not enough, I won't be loved. So how do I get love? And so all the greed and all the self-pity and all the bad dysfunctional coping strategies that we develop are from those fears of not being enough. And so how do we try to prove it or become enough? And that's why so many people, no matter what they get, it's never enough.
So how do we become enough then, Tim?
Yeah, what I do is we take people back to those moments where those beliefs were formed, and we change it. We reparent ourselves. We give a new meaning to an old situation. We review a situation that we experienced when we were 7, and we go back, and maybe now we're 47, and we see things differently as an adult than we would as a kid. But most of the beliefs that we form are coming through the eyes of a wounded kid, and so we still keep acting that way. And so, and of course, it's not the experiences that we go through. And, you know, my specialty was helping people with post-traumatic stress. So I've worked with people who've been through the worst of the worst of just horrible things. Right. But it's not the experiences that we go through. It's the beliefs that come from them. I'm not enough. I'm not safe. I'm broken. I'm dirty. I don't feel I'm not lovable. I don't deserve love. All those insidious ideas that are just opinions, not facts. They're just opinions. Right.
I love
that. They get lodged in our mind. And then as a result, they keep showing up in our life. And when we go to those moments and we give ourselves the love, the acceptance, the understanding, the protection that we need, and then upgrade the belief, go from I'm not enough to I am, it's remarkable what can happen.
Right.
What does happen.
As we were sitting here, I thought it'd just be fun to just sort of, you know, just flip through the book a second and stop somewhere and then have the universe tell us what it is, might be our next question. And look at what I came up with.
Oh, that's so cool. Is that
the wildest thing?
Yeah, forgiving yourself. I literally just finished a session with a client before I jumped on here with you. And that's what we were doing. So it's still in my energy zone of forgiving ourselves and forgiving others, which is one of the most difficult painful things people struggle with, forgiving others. And it's because they think that, you know, I'm letting them off the hook, or or it'll happen again. And unfortunately, that doesn't affect them. It affects us. Buddha said, if you hold a grudge, it's like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. No, we're the ones that have the poison inside of us. So it's time to get that out.
So true. You're so wise. How'd you get to be so wise? Wow. That's okay. You have a 5-step, and it's a 5-step, one belief away strategy for busting through limitations. What are the 5 steps?
So step one, start with the feeling. What is the feeling that you're having? Is it stress, overwhelm, anxiety, anger, fear, frustration? Start with the fear. Step two, ask yourself, what would I have to believe to feel this way? I always think about what's the core belief that you have? And if you ask yourself, well, what do I have to believe to feel this way? Well, a lot of times people will be like, well, you know, I'm having stress because of, you know, my money got hurt, you know, I'm making less because of COVID and I'm afraid I won't be able to pay my bills. You know, well, that's not the biggest fear. The biggest fear is that you won't somehow be smart enough or wise enough or resourceful enough to be able to figure it out, which means I'm less than, and then I'm going to lose everything. And then it's going to prove that I really am a loser. Yeah, and so our biggest fear isn't not paying the bills, although that's a stress, but our biggest fear is that we won't know how to figure it out because we're not enough to figure it out. And then that energy causes us to self-sabotage, drink, eat, smoke, distract ourselves. And that's why it's so negative, because then it causes these negative self-fulfilling prophecies. So the third step then is, what would you want to believe instead? You know, what would you want to believe? Well, I'd want to believe that I am resourceful.
Yeah.
Right. We focus so much on what we don't want, what we don't have, what we don't like, and what we're afraid of. And what you focus on expands. What you focus on, you move towards. So if we're focused on what we're afraid of, we're just going to keep moving in a more disempowering way. And it's going to paralyze us, the anxiety. But if we start focusing on what we want, the outcomes that we want, what resources we do have, who we can lean on for support, then we're going to start moving in that direction. And your brain will literally pay attention to a new set of data points and information that's already here, but we won't see it. If we have a negative belief that says it doesn't exist, there's no way out, even if it's right here, you won't see it because of this little blinder in your mind. Right. Yeah. And so what we want to do is start focusing on what would I want to believe? Well, I want to believe I am resourceful. All right. Now, step four, if I am resourceful, or I am enough, or I am worthy, or I'm going to be able to figure out how to pay these bills and put money in the bank.
Right.
What would a big, bold move be? If I really believe that, what kind of big action could I take? I call it making a bold move. Push the big domino over, it knocks all the little ones over.
Right, right.
What's a big move I could make? Well, I'd call my employer, or I'd reach out to a client, or I'd hire a coach, or I would, you know, whatever it is, you know, I would have that difficult conversation. And then once you have got clarity on what you want to believe and what your next big move will be, step five is take action. You know, as Joe always says, money loves speed, right? So put it into action and watch the magic happen.
Let's see where I got to now.
Ooh, what's that?
Feel your intention already achieved. This was always a hard one for me to, you know, explain that better. So maybe I could really get it this time, because it's really hard for me to say, oh yeah, I've got a Lamborghini in the garage.
Yeah.
And then I go out there and it's not there, or, you know, whatever, you know, make it up as you go. But that's a hard one for me.
So that's a hard one for most people. So let me make it a little bit easier. When you are imagining something, the reason why you imagine it, there's two reasons. One, you're getting clear on what you want, right? Because as the great Zig Ziglar once said, how can you hit a target if you don't have one, right? You got it. And Dr. Phil once said, you got to name it to claim it, right? So we got to know what we want. And so when you're imagining a fancy car, now you know what you want. And then maybe you go to a place where they sell those cars and you sit in the car and you smell the seats, you know, and you maybe take it for a test drive. So you're really having that experience. The second reason you do it is to create the emotions that would drive you into taking action. You want to create feelization, not just visualization, but feelization. Right. The reason that you're doing this is because you want to generate feelings that'll cause you to consistently take action to make that goal a reality. Well, what most people do is they think about the car. Did you say it was a Lamborghini?
Yeah, that's what I said.
So you imagine a Lamborghini, and then what most people do is we focus on not having it. So what happens is we picture the Lamborghini, and then we feel stress. We feel anxious. We feel like we don't have it, and that creates scarcity. So we actually attach scarcity to what we are wanting, and we feel like it's out of reach. And so that's using the law of attraction in the wrong way, in the wrong direction. And that's what people keep getting tripped up on. I have the vision boards and I keep imagining it, but it's not working out. And now it's making me depressed, you know, even thinking about it. So
I've got two vision boards. If I could turn the camera around, I've got two vision boards right behind you. One is the physical and the other one is the spiritual. Yeah. And a couple of them came true, but not quite all of them.
They're not all supposed to come true, because then you would stop growing. Then you would become content. Right. And if it hasn't happened yet, you know, as they say, God's delays are not God's denials. And so if it everything works out in the end, and if it hasn't worked out yet, it simply isn't the end. Right. And so we just got to start asking better questions. You know, what do I need to do, and why do I really need that? So I thought it would be fun to have a Lamborghini. And then I had friends who were like, yeah, but you can't drive it anywhere. It's so low to the ground. You get a flat tire. It's $1,000. And
I'm
like, well, you know what? I don't want to own one. I'll just rent one. And so my wife and I went to Las Vegas and we rented a convertible and Lamborghini. We drove down the strip and we drove, you know, all over the place. And it, and you can be, feel like a movie star because everybody was taking pictures.
All right. One more. Here we go. Okay. Here we go.
Expanding your comfort zone. Absolutely.
I'm just doing it without even looking. I'm just the universe is bringing it to us, Tim.
I love this. This is awesome. You're so creative. Yes. So again, you can't win playing it safe in life. You know, you don't grow unless you get out of your comfort zone. You know, Lao Tzu said you have to get out on a limb because that's where the fruit is. The fruit is not at the base of the tree. And so most people play life playing not to lose.
Yeah.
And then even when you win, you still don't really feel like you're winning if you have a play not to lose approach. Exactly. You've got to play to win, because at the end of the day, none of us is getting out of this game alive. So why are we holding back? You know, because we might just get disappointed. We get our hopes up and then it doesn't work out. So what? We're just where we are now. Right.
Yeah, but
what if it does work out? And what if there's an opportunity in here that you're not noticing where it doesn't work out? And because it doesn't, you took this action and that's where you ultimately wanted to go anyway. So sometimes when it doesn't work out, yes, because I know something even better is about to show up.
You say that you have a way to eliminate anxiety in 60 seconds. How do we do that?
Real quick. So you take a power breath, you look up, and then you do a reverse spin. Okay. That's what you do. So when we look up, we go visual, which means we're looking up and our voice gets quiet in our mind and we disconnect from feeling things. When people are depressed or really anxious, they tend to look down.
Yes.
And when they're looking down, they're talking to themselves and they're really getting in touch with how they're feeling. Because you go auditory, digital, and kinesthetic, right? So you're feeling things and you're talking to yourself and you're going, oh my God, this is going to be horrible. And then you feel it and you're like, oh, it's really getting worse. And we really amp ourselves up. When you look up, it actually quiets your voice and it makes you feel peaceful. So for everybody that's watching or listening, if you're not driving right now, stare up at the ceiling for a minute or two and try to get stressed. And you'll find it's actually difficult to do. The second part of it is power breathing. Most people are mouth breathers, so they breathe through their mouth. When you breathe through your nose down to your belly and you slowly exhale, you do that 5 times in a row, it actually activates your relaxation response. Your brain's built-in ability to feel calm, resourceful, and it won't matter who you're with, where you're at, or what's going on, you'll start to actually feel better. The third tool that you can do is you can imagine having that anxiety and imagine giving it a color and imagine that it's moving. Like it's a little ball of red energy and it's moving head over heels or right to left, like a little tornado spinning inside, getting you all wound up. Then use your power breathing and imagine pulling that energy out in front of you and then slow it down. Like you turn off a ceiling fan and it goes slower and then it stops. And then every ceiling fan has a little switch. If you move the switch and turn the power on, it goes the other way. It's a reverse spin. So you imagine taking that energy and slowing it down to a stop, and then imagine spinning it the other way. And as you do, it begins to unwind and release. And when it does, it changes the color. So imagine it spins the other way and it goes from red to maybe green or purple or blue, a relaxing color for you. When it's this new color and it's moving with this new rhythm, bring it back into your body and imagine it expands. So when you combine the three, you're looking up, you're doing your power breathing, and you're shifting how your brain is experiencing the feelings that you're having inside, it completely shifts you. It is a total mindset reset. And when you're reset, then you start focusing again on what's the outcome that I want and then start moving towards it.
I think you just hypnotized me, Tim. I'm not quite sure. I think
take another slow, deep breath in.
I want to remind everybody that you can find Tim Scherr over on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube with at Scherr Success. Instagram is Real Tim Scherr, and his website is right there on the ticker below, timscherr.com. One last one before we go. What do we got? Oh.
Let go and be needless. Ooh, yeah, that is the toughest one. I had a lot of conversations with Joe Vitale about that. And because it's a really challenging one. Being needless, what does that mean? That means letting go of whether things work out or not. People are afraid to let go of their outcomes because they're afraid, well, if I let go, I'm going to get complacent or I'm going to get stuck where I am. You know, and so I have to keep fighting all the time. But all of that does is create pressure and stress. Yeah. When you're needless, what you're saying is that I'm good either way. I'm abundant either way. I'm already whole. I'm already enough. I'm already good. And that's an abundance mindset. And if you feel like you're already blessed, then more blessings flow into your life. But if you feel like, no, I don't have it and I need to do this, then it's implying energetically that you're not enough. And that's what will get reflected back to you.
Yeah.
So when we are needless, what we're saying is that I'm still going to go after my goals. I'm still going to climb those mountains because of the thrill of learning and because of the person that I'm becoming, but I'm going to enjoy where I'm at the same time.
And with that, sir, I think we finished our interview. Thank you so much for being on the show. I love all of your words of wisdom. I'm going to take a deep dive into your book. I can't wait to read it. And let's tell everybody where they can get it.
If you go to Amazon.com, it's a small online bookstore that you can find on the internet. And so Amazon.com, and that's a great resource. And then I have a new program called The Power of Your Unconscious Mind. So if you, I'm give you a free copy for all your viewers and all your listeners.
Yes.
So if you go to powermindsetprogram.com, powermindsetprogram.com, you can grab a copy of The Power of Your Unconscious Mind.
I'll make sure that we put that in the link below. Thank you so much again for being with us. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody and give them an appointment for the next episode of In the Limelight with yet another extraordinary entrepreneur while I say goodbye to Tim Scherr. Thank you so much for being with us again. We'll see you again soon. Thanks for listening to this episode of the In the Limelight podcast, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. You can listen to this and all of my podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. You'll find all of my videos and the In the Limelight digital magazine on clarissabert.com. And don't forget to connect with me on social pretty much anywhere. Stay well until we meet again in the Limelight.